This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Count us down in your top five favorite Sesame Street characters.
The Count, Ernie, Bert, Oscar, Cookie Monster, Lego.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. The same, it's something mean, supposed to be weekly. But I show that beats are awesome and that down it be amazing. But enough about me, guess we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it was for the fans, it would have been killed a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Baby mood, I didn't got a wrong, we call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Be home.
Trophy whore.
Now, Oscar's got to be first. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 124. I'm your host, Tricky Mick, alongside with me, and only with me this week, Alex.
I picked the wrong show to go bar hopping for.
Yes, you did. Last week's episode was good. I'm sorry you missed it.
I gotta say that I'm not really that sorry that I missed it, because I had a good Saturday, but I'm glad the show turned out well anyway.
Yeah, we gave a shout-out to all the bars that you hit up.
Yeah, there were about five of them over the course of the day, and then went home and, you know, finished it off with some banana bread beer, which is actually delicious. It's made by Wells.
Banana bread beer?
The taste is very subtle, I swear. It's really, really good. It's like about, you can find it for like $5.50, $6 per 16-ounce bottle. It's really good. It's worth it.
Okay, but that sounds like a real fruity drink there, Alex.
It's not. It's not really fruity. I promise if you try it, you'll like it.
I don't know if I want to try it. That's the problem.
Dude, what's wrong with trying it? It's not like I'm asking you to staple your hand to a table.
Well, the thing is like, I'm not a real big drinker. Like, I stick to my core drinks. I mean, I drink Budweiser, and that's all I really drink. If I go into the hard liquor section, I might drink a couple of Bacardi.
An Appletini.
No, I don't drink Appletini, but I do drink something that a lot of people really frown upon. They're like, how the fuck can you drink that? You ever hear the drink called the Four Horsemen?
No. I imagine okay. It's four types of liquor.
Yes, it's Jimmy, Jack, Johnny, and Jose. All in one shot.
Look, if I am going to do hard liquor, it's got to be in a shot. I can't do mixed drinks. Like, I'm one of the only people probably in the state of Kentucky or in the state of Louisville who does not like Jack and Coke or bourbon and Coke. If I'm going to do hard drinks, it's going to be a Bloody Mary, a Filthy Martini, or a gin and tonic. Otherwise, it's beer. And, you know, I'm one of those guys who likes to try new things. I got to try new beer all the time. I can't just sit there and drink the same things. Like, I can't be a Budweiser guy. I can't.
All right, listen, just do me a favor. Next time you go to a bar and you got $25 that you can throw away on one drink, order a Four Horsemen and let me know what you think.
All right.
It will put some hair on your chest, and you know it won't make your balls drop. But it's definitely one of those shots.
Good, because I don't want my balls to drop ever.
It will definitely wake you up in the morning.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I've had a mind eraser before, and I will not touch that drink ever again. But maybe if I'm out, I'll get a Four Horsemen after I get a peanut butter and jelly shot.
Yeah, not a lot of people order it. So when you ask the bartender for it, the bartender might look at you like you're crazy. Just tell them it's a shot of Jimmy, Jack, Johnny, and Jose.
Is it just because, like, it tastes terrible or it fucks you up?
It fucks you up.
It's funny. That's funny because I used to kind of sort of see a girl who drank these things called Adios Motherfuckers, which had six kinds of alcohol in it. So I figure if she can kind of handle at least one of those decently, then I can do a Four Horsemen.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to report back to us.
If I don't, like, you know, die apparently from this shot that's like, or this drink that's awful and everyone's scared of. $25 is kind of expensive for a drink, though. I will say, like, it's not like I'm not gonna just get up and say, yeah, I've got $25 to burn.
Well, it also is because liquor prices in New York are a little bit more expensive than other places, so you're basically paying for a shot, four shots. So that's why $6 a shot. So
yeah.
It adds up. That's why it's $25. But
that might be the only drink you need that night, though.
Yeah, really. But let's move on to our video games, because this is a video game.
Because the AA is about ready to come in on this podcast and be like, all right, look, guys, you need to tone it down. You're talking about getting drunk at fucking noon on a Saturday.
Yeah. Thanks for letting everybody know when we're recording. Let's go into our updated
problem. Don't you take that out.
Oh, I'm not the one taking it out. The guy decided not to show up on this episode. He's going to have to edit this
show.
You
know damn well Donnie's not taking that shit out.
Breaking news. Nope, I ain't taking it out. Sad note, I just might drop in from time to time, even though I'm not on this week's episode. Back to the show.
We know that. But we love you, Donnie. Not. Let's do our updated trophy count. I am level 23, total trophies of 47, 22, and a plaque count of 32. And Alex, what about you?
All right, so I'm still level 20, almost creeping up on 21. Total trophy count is 36, 49, and the platinum count is 37, or really 36. 36 platinums.
We are getting into that conversation soon, I promise you.
Well, hopefully. You know, you keep saying it, you know, that and the... sure, we're doing a PG spoilers on a Marvel Facebook game.
Dude, that game is fun.
All right, I you know, hey, everyone has their own games they like that others may not like. I can't get into it, but hey.
Have you given it a shot?
It's mostly the social aspects. Like, I don't like bothering people, like asking people, hey, help me man these ships, blah blah blah. And because like the SimCity game for Facebook was fun for like a week, and then you started like hardcore having to like send messages to people, say, hey, do this for me, blah blah blah, send me this, and that just I hate sending people stuff like that. Like, I don't want any part of that.
Did you play the Plants vs. Zombies
kind Facebook of game? Not really. Like, I played it for like an hour or so, or not even that really. It seemed kind of fun.
Alright, but speaking of what you've been playing, what have you been playing?
Man, this is going to be a real boring section for us this week. Pretty much,
really,
I'm now above 61 hours in Resident Evil Revelations raid mode. I am trying to get as many of those fucking trophies as I can. I'm 5 away from the platinum, so I got to keep going.
And that's it? Just Resident Evil?
I've been out doing stuff, you know. I've been getting back into some photography some. I went down to the Louisville downtown waterfront today, spent an hour there, had a nice walk, and took some pictures. And I've been trying to do some more cooking, become a badass chef. And, so I've been doing other activities besides playing games.
Yeah, and I've been playing this game called Life, not the board game. I haven't.
Good, because that game sucks.
I have not played a game all week.
To be fair, it is kind of a dead time for games because there's not anything really coming out. I mean, the fact that I've been playing Resident Evil Revelations for about 2 months shows you how many games have been coming out.
Well, here's the point. It's like I got so much in the backlog because of Plus. I got Gamefly sending me BioShock Infinite, which I'm actually going to try to give the game a legitimate shot.
Nice, because that game is awesome. It's the best game I've played in a long time.
Well, the thing is you know how I feel about first-person shooters.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, you know, I can almost ignore the first-person aspect of it and actually try to enjoy the game, but I really don't know. When I get it, I'm going to give it a legitimate shot. If I find it too frustrating, it's going to go right back in the envelope and sent back.
There's so many elements, though, to that game, like the looting, and it's kind of an exploration game. You're on a linear track, but there's a lot to explore in the areas. It's just a really great game, really awesome story, and like the shooting is fun. Like, I don't like first person shooters, but yet I'll play that. You know, and it's got a sci-fi kind of element to it. Yeah, definitely, I'll play it. So BioShock, that game's awesome.
All right. Well, as you know, our listeners, Gamescom happened this week, and if you don't know, well, we're about to tell you everything about Gamescom. This episode is going to be nothing but Gamescom news. Most of these things we're going to go right through because there's a lot of news, and we're going to try to shove a two-hour press conference down into an hour podcast.
I'm going
to
be perfectly honest. Like, as I was reading over these topics, like, there was like very little that excited me. Like, I realize E3 and, like, the PlayStation 4 reveal was, like, Sony's kind of big, hey, look at us. But, you know, there was not a whole lot here that really excited me.
Yeah, well, the first thing is Playroom is going to come pre-installed on every PlayStation 4. If you saw Playroom, to me, what it basically looks like is using AR technology, kind of like iPad, and it's going to be pre-installed on every system. It's kind of cool, but I see it more like another version of Home. That it's cool to have it, but not a lot of people are going to use it.
Well, okay. Well, first off, do you need – I saw – you know, we know the camera's not it said, like, it was going to use the light bar on the DualShock 4 plus, like, the system itself, like, technology within the system to make it, like, a kind of like a Wii Sports kind of thing or, like, a Wii thing. Is it, like – do you need the camera, the PSI?
Yeah. You need the camera for Playroom.
Okay, because I know that's not bundled with it, so – I mean, it's easier for them just to pre-install it on everything than just have people download it, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just the way I look at it is, you know, just using Devil's Advocate, like I just said, I don't think a lot of people are going to use it, but having it pre-installed and not being it, you know, having to take up extra room on my hard drive might be an annoyance to some people.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm assuming now that we've cleared up the problem of having enough space on the hard drives.
Well, I mean, I got a terabyte in my PlayStation 3, and now when I get my PlayStation 4, I'm going to have to downgrade down to a 500 gig again, which is really not that big of a deal, because 500 gigs is in no means a small amount of space. But on the same token, I'm expecting the PlayStation 4 games to be a little bit bigger in scale, so it might not be able to... you know, fit as many games as I do now.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, like, compression technology, I'm sure, has come a long way, because you figure Warhawk years ago, they had to compress that file down to a certain size. So you figure that they've worked on that a little bit to make more space. Granted, games, as we saw with Uncharted 3, games are still going to be fucking big to download, but...
Right.
Again, that's the point of the PlayStation Store and, you know, other download services, where even if you erase it from your system, it's still in kind of like a cloud area where you can always pull it from.
Right.
So,
all right, the next thing we have is Borderlands 2 has officially been confirmed to be coming to the PlayStation Vita in 2014.
Should we really be getting excited about a game that's been out for, what, a year?
Well, here's the thing. It's back before Borderlands 2 came out, somebody asked Randy Pitchford, would the game ever come to the Vita? And he said, that's a really good idea. I really hope somebody has time to do that. Well, as it turns out, Gearbox is actually getting together with Divekick developer Iron Galaxy, and they're going to make the game happen. Now, we don't have any other news about Borderlands 2 other than the game's coming. But the real question is, are you going to be able to import your character from the PS3 version onto your Vita? Because I know a lot of people would do that and would love to have the ability to keep playing Borderlands on the go.
But do you think that people that have already played the game, like I said, it's been out for a year, do you think that people have just moved on from it?
No. Borderlands 2 is one of those games that people stay and they play. I listen to other podcasts and people, like, I'm, you know, they're playing the Psycho DLC. They're going through the game with all the different characters. And the difference between Borderlands 1 and Borderlands 2 is now you have more than the four characters, so they're releasing new characters, and they're coming out with DLC still to this day. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Vita version comes with the DLC already released, or you have to buy that separate. It's going to be interesting to see if you can actually do a cross-save feature, and, you know, what are they going to add to the Borderlands 2 on the Vita that we did not have in the PS3 version? So it's one of those things that, you know, we have to wait and see. But, you know, I know a lot of people are happy to see Borderlands 2 coming.
Okay. I mean, Borderlands was one of those games that I never got into because it's a game that I have to play with other people. I can't play by myself. Like, I have to play with other people. It has to be multiplayer for me. So, like, if I, you know, I don't know too many people that have Vitas aside from you, Tricky. So I would that aspect of it would kind of kill it for me.
Well, also on the fact that you know, to play online you need to be over a Wi-Fi, so it's not like you can just call me up and say, "Hey, you're at work, let's play some Borderlands."
Yeah, true.
All right, the next thing announced was Little Big Planet Hub is coming to the PS3 for free. Now, Alex, were you a Little Big Planet fan?
I liked the Little Big Planet game. My favorite one was actually Little Big Planet Karting. I thought that was a really well done I did enjoy the other Little Big Planets, though. I like playing through the levels, not necessarily making stuff. Like I enjoy making, you know, characters in games and stuff like that, and kind of, you know, making modifications to like cars, maybe kind of smaller stuff. I don't like making entire levels, so I didn't really get into the creation aspect of Little Big Planet. But I got a pretty good amount of enjoyment from the actual platforming and the levels that Media Molecule created and put out for us.
All right, Little Big Planet Hub is a remixed freemium take on play, create, and share formula popularized by the games. Gamers can participate in some features free of charge or purchase small Little Big Planet elements on a piece-by-piece basis. The free download gives gamers access to the first world from Little Big Planet 1 and 2, 16 levels in total. With all their included costumes and knickknacks, free players also get unrestricted access to Create Mode, the full collection of weekly team-picked community levels, more than 500, as well as weekly challenges features. Gamers that already purchased Little Big Planet 1 and or 2 will be able to import their profiles into the hub, grant access to all your previously purchased content. New players will be able to buy this content in individual pieces.
Okay, so let me get this straight. This isn't an entirely new game. What it is it's pulling all of the content together. It's pulling 1 and 2 together along with all the DLC that they've already released and that they're going to release and just putting it in one big place.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of it's nice to see an evolution within Little Big Planet. I can't say that's something that I'm going to jump, you know, into because I feel like, I don't know, I've played through most of the levels and I don't really, like I said, I'm not big into the create features, but like the fact that they're pulling it all together and making it in one giant place where everyone can come and get there, the Little Big Planet of fun, you know, hell, why not?
All right. One of the topics that I'm a little upset Donnie's not here for, Gran Turismo 6 date's been released. The game will be coming to the PS3 globally on December 6th of this year.
I guess we kind of can take a conjecture why it didn't take them as long to release 6 and it did 5. I guess they were more familiar with the technology, but this one kind of snuck up on me because I don't know. It's like, oh, hey, Gran Turismo 6 this December. It's like, really? Like, how long has 5 been out? It's been like, what, 2 years? 3 years?
It's been 2-3 years, yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay, this one just caught me completely off guard, and it's like, just when you think, it's a good example of just when you think that Sony has shown their hand and released all their big games, like, you know, there was Sly Cooper and The Last of Us earlier this year, and, you know, we knew about Beyond Two Souls, just when you think they've shown their hand, boom, that's, the great thing about having a PlayStation is, like, there's always kind of an exclusive on the horizon.
Yeah, well, speaking of exclusives, what we previously thought was an Xbox exclusive is now coming to the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and Vita. And yes, I'm talking about Minecraft.
Thug Life.
Now, I've never in my life played 1 second of Minecraft. So I understand it's one of those games where a lot of people lose their minds on. They sink a lot of hours into it. Alex, have you ever played Minecraft?
Yeah, this isn't where the Minecraft experts are going to get their news, because I have not played any of it either. I know people that have lost, like, just sunk hours and hours into it, but it's not something that pulled me in. Like, I don't know if it was, you know, just I kind of one of those things where I saw it's like, wow, that game's going to take a lot of time, and I just don't even have the time or want to get involved with that, or maybe it was the aesthetics. How blocky they were, and I don't know. I can't pinpoint one thing, but maybe just a combination of everything that kind of kept me away from it. And the fact that it wasn't available on, you know, the PlayStation. But it was never a game that I was really too interested in. Like, I would read news stories about, oh, this much money made off Minecraft and this many million people playing, but it was never a game that enticed me too much.
All right. One game that, well, many games that might entice you, is we also got word that Sony Studios, which was recently reported that all 14 of Sony's internal studios are working on PlayStation 4 games. Shuhei Yoshida, who is the president of Sony Worldwide Entertainment, confirmed that most of the studios are also working on PS3 and Vita games. Now, while that is, you know, pretty much of a duh statement, it's worth noting that in 2013, now we have we'll tell you the release date of the PlayStation 4 in a, you know, later in the show. But Sony has confirmed that PS4 will get 33 games by the end of the year and is over 180 in development.
You know, Tricky, I'll see what you did there. You did a little tease like they did on the news, a little tactic like they did on the news. Like, here's this juicy story coming up, but we're going to wait and make you watch the entire show to find out, like with the PlayStation 4 release date. Nice job there, Tricky.
You like that?
I did.
I seem like I'm a professional in this, aren't I?
Not really, but it's shades of professionalism. The cool, like, we've been told forever, like, the PlayStation 3 came out, what, 2006, right?
Yes.
So we've had all this time we've heard 10-year life cycle, 10-year life cycle, and people would question, you know, well, the PlayStation 2 had a 10-year life cycle, but that didn't mean it was the main development platform for the entirety of its life, which is what we're going to see here with the PlayStation 3. You know, we're only about, what, 7 years in? So we can see that the PlayStation 3 is coming to the, you know, coming to the end, because honestly, you know, for them to fully support the PlayStation 4, I mean, they can't do Vita. If they're going to do it right, they can't do Vita and then put full force behind the 3 and then the 4. You know, they're going to continue to develop games for the PlayStation 3. You know, whether it's, you know, you continually get those yearly baseball or basketball or sports releases on that, you know, that's what happened with the PlayStation 2. You know, they throw us a few bones that way. But I figure, you know, coming up here soon, I you know, within the next year and a half at least, you know, we're going to see the final PlayStation 3 exclusive. And, you know, hopefully it's as good as God of War 2 was for the PlayStation 2. Hopefully we get as good of a send-off for that. I will say, though, that I thought Beyond Two Souls would be the final big exclusive for the PlayStation 3, but apparently they're still working on more. And as Gran Turismo showed, you know, you can never say never. So I, you know, I'm not buying the PlayStation 4 launch day. I don't think I'll have the money for it. So if they keep continuing, you know, to hear that they're putting more still, you know, developing for the PlayStation 3, it's great for me to hear. I love to hear
that. I think they're going to be making some games for the PlayStation 3, because you still got to take that fan base, you know, like people like you who want a PlayStation 4 but may not be able to afford it day one. You still got to keep, you know, you happy, because if all of a sudden Sony just, like, PlayStation 4 is out, now we're going to stop making it for PS3, it might piss off a lot of people going, well, what the fuck? I thought we were going to still – what happened to this 10-year life cycle?
They've said 10 –
I still got it 3 years.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, with the 10-year life cycle, they've kind of – that's been their big thing, or one of their big things going through, their big themes going through the years. So, I mean, at this point, yeah, they risk pissing people off if they stop developing for the PlayStation 3 too soon. But I figure, you know, as we get closer to that 10 years, at some point you're going to get the yearly wrestling games and the yearly sports games, and that's pretty much all you're going to see. You got to wonder, at what point do we see the final big release, you know?
Well, yeah, that's also true. I mean, a lot of people were saying that The Last of Us was the PlayStation 3's swan song. I don't believe that. I do believe we have another.
Not with Beyond coming out, no way.
Yeah, I'm not too hyped on Beyond anymore, I got to tell you.
I mean, that's totally cool, but, like, you know, that game to me, like, I'm a huge Ellen Page fan. I will throw it out there. Like, I think she's a tremendous actress, and even, like, her movies, like, that normally I wouldn't like. I just think she's a wonderful actress, and I love, like, pretty much most of the movies she's been in. So I just enjoy, and when I heard that she was in it, and, you know, you got Willem Dafoe, who is, like, the ultimate creepy villain kind of guy.
Green Goblin.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited about not only the game itself, but the actors who are involved with it, because they, you know, they're top shelf, they're top quality, top class in Hollywood. So I'm excited as much for the game and the story as I am as the people involved. But at the same time, you know, as I say, you know, that I'm not going to get the PlayStation 4 right away, but, you know, launches of consoles, they're always like, all right, there's like one game I want and a bunch I don't. And I so far I haven't seen, like, I'm not too big into Killzone, so I'm not really excited about that. I'm not, you know, Infamous, I played the first one, I never got the second one, and I'm probably not going to get Second Son, so I haven't seen anything really to entice me yet.
You didn't get the second game?
No, No, and I know it was. I think it was free too.
Yeah, it's free on Plus.
No, yeah. That shows you how much into Infamous broke me too on open world games. Like, there's just, I hate games where I go in and it's like main mission, and then there's like 20,000 side missions to do. Like, my brain breaks. I have to do everything at once, and I can never do that, so my brain kind of breaks. So it took the Batman Arkham games to get me back into open world games.
That's even worse on the side missions though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the Batman lore that keeps me in there. If it were any other game, I'd be like, fuck this. But the Batman lore and the characters and the villains, like seeing all that fan service in there, and you know how well the games are done, the combat's done, it brings me back. So Grand Theft Auto and Infamous broke me on open world games, and Batman patched it up a little bit. But like, to hear that there are 180 games in development for the PlayStation 4 while they're still developing for the PlayStation 3 and the Vita, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, what more can you ask from a developer? I mean, they've got like, they talked about, I think it's the number quoted was 14 in-house studios, first-party studios, right, most of which are world-renowned and very well-known. I mean, to have that much in development, it, you know, as people have said, it shows, Sony has shown with the PlayStation 4 that, you know, we're making something for gamers. You know, it's not an all-in-one media box that we're going to try to do everything that something else does, but not nearly as well, like the Xbox One. You know, it's all about the games. You know, this is a machine for gamers. So, you know, they'll have some of that multimedia stuff, yes. But to see that there's so much going behind the PlayStation 4, it's, you know, that they didn't hedge after they, you know, they lost a lot of money on the PlayStation 3. It's, I mean, as a PlayStation fan, I mean, how can you not be excited?
I'm totally excited.
Good.
Well, one thing I'm not excited about, and I got to be honest, and I'm gonna kind of come out on this episode here real quick. I'm not really a big fan of all these indie games.
Really?
And let me justify myself here a little bit. It's not that I don't want to support indies, because I do. I just can't get hyped on it. You know, I see a game like Hotline Miami. I see a game like Thomas Was Alone. And I hear people talk about it, but I just can't get hyped up to play the game. Where you have the big buildup of, like, let's just use The Last of Us. You had the big buildup. You had this trailer after that trailer, this. And you kind of like, I want to play this fucking game. These indies, they come out so fast and so often that it's hard to keep up, and I just don't have interest in them. Yeah. So, like, when I'm watching E3 and I'm watching Gamescom, and this is kind of a segue into our next topic. You know, I'm watching it and I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but show me the big blockbuster games. And I understand that if we don't support the indies, they're never going to get to the point where they can make the big blockbuster games. But I can't find myself, you know, getting excited about these games.
I think the industry needs both. I think it needs the blockbusters and the smaller indie games. Oh, absolutely. I think anything in the middle tends to get lost. But I think that the indie games are kind of a nostalgia. It's kind of a throwback to the NES and Super NES days, where games are much more – they're smaller. You can play them in smaller bits. They don't cost as much to make. You're seeing a lot more creativity come out in those games because you know, when your game doesn't cost like $100 million to make, you can take more risk because, you know, your financial life is not dependent upon what you – your profit on the game. So – that's one thing about indie games that I've really, really enjoyed is just seeing the creativity that's come out. Because, and you know, a lot of those games, you won't get to play anything like that anywhere else. And
I agree with you.
And to be perfectly honest, I get what you're saying. Like, there's not that hype, there's not that buildup, there's not that big marketing campaign. I understand. You know, we've been taught and we've grown up on, you know, through the N64 days and through the PlayStation and the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube, the original Xbox, the Dreamcast. We've grown up on big blockbuster games. That has been what has kind of made the industry grow so much and what has brought so much attention, and we're used to them. But for me, a lot of those retail blockbuster games have disappointed. I mean, outside of, you know, ever since Batman Arkham City, outside of, you know, The Last of Us and Bioshock Infinite. I mean, to be perfectly honest, Mass Effect, I'll throw Mass Effect 3 in there too. I mean, there hasn't been anything that I would sit there and say, damn, that was a good game. I mean, retail has disappointed me a lot. Like, Darksiders 2 disappointed the hell out of me. Even Resident Evil 6, like, as I'd enjoyed playing it, but, like, it's a step down from Resident Evil 5, and it's a noticeable step down. And I, you know, I'm just so disappointed in what I'm seeing out of retail, because I'm buying maybe 2-3 games a year at retail. I mean, Dead Space 3, I've completely lost all desire to play that game. I mean, I just think that the retail space is full of so many landmines now, so many hits and misses. Well, actually, more misses than hits. Granted, I'm more judicious in how I spend my money, but if I'm buying 2 or 3 retail games a year as opposed to years ago when I was buying over 10, I mean, the industry shifted where you've got now it needs both small and big games. And I'm not saying that you're saying that it doesn't need both. But you know, I think that I'm moving more towards the downloadable platforms and towards Steam with the smaller games rather than playing the big games all the time.
Yeah. I mean, like, okay, just let's segue into our next topic. I mean, more PlayStation 4 and Vita indie games were revealed. Some of the ones that are mentioned were Rogue Legacy, which will make its console debut on the PlayStation 4 and the Vita. Binding of Isaac Rebirth will hit the PlayStation 4 and Vita in 2014, and they'll both be they'll be free for PlayStation Plus members. And Plus Plus is coming to the PlayStation 4 this winter. Volume, which is the Thomas Alone follow-up, will come out to the 4 and the Vita this next year. Guns of Icarus, a port of the PC airship shooter, will... Wasteland Kings will make its debut on the PlayStation 4, and Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number, will make its console debut on the 4 and the Vita. And a lot of people were saying that the Vita is the platform for indie games. And I understand that. I can respect that. But I don't want to play indie games on my Vita. I want to play games like an Infamous game or an Uncharted game.
See, that's the opposite. See, that's strange, you know, to each his or her own, but that's you know, usually the counter argument people have against the Vita, because they said, you know, on the PlayStation Plus or on the PSP, you know, you've got, why would you want to play these sequels and these games that are basically just lifted from the PlayStation 3, the home console, on a, you know, why wouldn't you want new IPs, you know, new games, instead of playing Uncharted over again and playing it through Infamous?
I use those games, but I'm saying I want those games. I want, you know, an Uncharted S game, an Infamous S game. Those quality games that I play on my PlayStation 3 and I play on my PlayStation 4, I want those quality games on my Vita. My Vita can handle it.
You want more support from the big developers, the big publishers.
Right. And I mean, I understand, you know, the Vita. I understand the Vita is a good platform for indies to come out with, to get their name out there, to get recognition.
All
right, sorry to cut you guys off in the middle of your show, but I got something to say. I don't think the Vita should be made for indie games, mainly because the Vita is a freaking powerful system. It's been said before, the Vita is basically a portable Station 3. Now, I feel somewhat the same as Tricky when it comes to indie games. I'm not bashing them, but to me, if you're making the Vita mainly for, which you're not saying it, but if the Vita was being made just for indie games, I feel that would be a waste of technology, because the Vita is so much more powerful than just for indie games. Now, don't take my words and twist them and like you guys always do. I'm not knocking indie games. It's for some people, and it's not for some people. The Vita is too powerful for that just type of gaming, and also porting. Back to the shop.
Yes, it is a good platform, but Sony has made all its platforms great for indies, because, you know, you think of the deal that they struck with that game company. You know, no one knew who that game company was before Flow and Flower, and it was that deal with Sony on the PlayStation Network, which allowed them to get bigger and bigger, and eventually, you know, get out of the, you know, after the exclusivity deal with Sony, now they can make games with other companies. And, you know, you had a couple people, I think Genova Chin left, they had a couple of the higher ups there, they went and left to do other stuff, you know. So there is that Sony has created that opportunity for indies on all of this platform.
Oh, absolutely. But see, and you're gonna get upset with me, but I've never played Flower, I've never played Journey, and I've never played Flow.
Okay, first of all, Flow is really not worth playing. Journey is a fabulous game. Flower. Like those are games that border on experiences, or they actually are experiences, because they're just wonderful. You can sit there and relax and play them. I mean, you get more out of those games, or you get things out of those games, a sense of companionship sometimes, a sense of beauty and stillness in the world that you wouldn't get out of a whole lot of other games. So those games definitely bring something new to the table, not only in the way you play them, but also in the emotions that you gain from them that are kind of brought out by those games. And yeah, I, if you haven't played them, that's totally fine. You know, there are way too many. There are a lot of games that I haven't played that you've played that I should probably play. I mean, no one can ever sit down and play all the games, but they're definitely games that I think you should play. But I'm not going to sit here and rant at you for like an angry drunk for 2 hours because you Flower.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I see their fabulous games, and I see people win them. I mean, Journey won how many Game of the Year awards last year?
Lots.
I mean. So, I mean, I can see it's a beautiful game. I can see that it's really fun to play. But I don't have that desire to go out and buy it and sit down and play right now. I'd much rather play, you know, Splinter Cell or Saints Row 4 or, you know, and I didn't even pick those up. And I'm going to go and buy an indie game where I know that I'm going to get a great experience from Saints Row. I mean, Jeff Hanna is behind it. He's fucking great. I mean,
yeah, but agreed. Love Jeff. Lots of love for Jeff Hanna. And definitely glad to see that game out. So congratulations on that, Jeff. Been an awesome guest here on the show before. So after the you know what happened to THQ, definitely got to see that come out. But I think that a lot of times people, there isn't a definition of indie. Like the definition of indie would fit lots and lots of studios, like a studio like Double Fine, or. You know, any studio that isn't necessarily attached to a bigger company at large, I guess, would fit into that definition. But people, you know, usually think of indie as, you know, like the guys who made Super Meat Boy, who were just making a game, like a small team of maybe two people, maybe one person in the garage making a game. So it's kind of our sense of our I guess we don't say independent, we just say indie, because indie is like a subsection of actual independent developers that we think of, and maybe we don't necessarily look at the development team and define those studios alone by the size of their development team, but also by the size of their game and the elements which it uses to pull everything together. So indie, it's always funny to hear people say indie, because it's like, that applies to so many things. It's such a broad and big group of game developers, but yet it's kind of applied to a smaller subsection of that community.
Right. All right. Well, you would just talk about bringing everything together.
I did, like Voltron.
Oh. All right. Well, Sony has announced a way to bring things together. Sony has announced that gamers that buy Battlefield 4, Assassin's Creed 4, Call of Duty Ghosts, or Watch Dogs on the PlayStation 3 will be able to buy the PlayStation 4 digital version for a, quote, significantly discounted price once it becomes available. Although not stated explicitly, this program seems to be a direct response to GameStop's promotion that allows gamers to trade in their current-gen versions of games to get on the next-gen for $10 more. EA, Activision, Ubisoft, and Warner Brothers were named as partners in this program, and presumably more games will be announced as part of this digital upgrade program in the coming weeks. Now, this I bring this up because we've talked on several episodes about, are you going to buy the game for the PS3 or are you going to buy the game for the PS4? With this being said, does this change your stance on whether or not you'll buy the PS3 version? Does it make you feel more comfortable knowing that if I eventually do want to play this on the PlayStation 4, I can get the digital version for, you know, a cheaper price?
Ooh, I wish I was on recording with y'all right now.
Honestly, I will wait. I think it's a good thing for Sony to do, because there are those people who will buy the games, go out and buy the games. You know, they're so excited and all the hype's building up, and they just can't wait to play them. And they want to go there. They're at the midnight launch, and you know, for them, it's a good deal, because you know, later on, you get for $10, you get to upgrade to the digital version. You know, which, you know, very consumer friendly. For me, though, like, there's some games, like, I like having the disc of The Last of Us, and I like having Bioshock Infinite on disc. I like having the original Darksiders on disc. There are just some games that I like to keep physical copies of. Like, music, I've gone all digital. But with movies and games, there are still some things that I like to keep on a disc. I like to have that physical copy of. I haven't completely moved on with those. So knowing that, if there's a game I really want for the PlayStation 4 and, you know, I think I want to keep the disc around, then I'll just wait for the PlayStation 4 version. I've come to find that I am – and I stay away from the internet more these days. I'm focusing more, you know, on stuff around town. So I'm not on Twitter nearly as much. I am still on Twitter, but, you know, I'm not on Twitter as much. And I'm not going to video game news sites, so I'm not worried necessarily about seeing spoilers anymore. So I can kind of, you know, wait to play them if I want.
This is my thought is I want to get the game for the PlayStation 4 because I want in what should be, and I know it's not always true, what should be the better version of the game. Now, I understand some are going to be the PS3 that was just upscaled to the PlayStation 4. I got that. But I want to buy the PlayStation 4 versions of the game.
Okay, well, it's like, and I mentioned this before, God of War 2 and the PlayStation 2, you know, I'm sure people wondered when they played that, how would this be on the PlayStation 3 since it came out, you know,
I think the PlayStation 3 was out then.
Yeah, so people wondered, you know, how would this look on there? And then you got with the GameCube and the Wii, Twilight Princess was built for the GameCube, yet it was also released for the Wii. And I got to say, I played it on the Wii, and it was a fantastic game. I enjoyed it thoroughly. So even though it was developed primarily for the GameCube, I still got that full experience. I still got a great experience out of it. I can understand that where you're coming from, though, is it optimized for one console? And I think the best way to do that is just to wait for the PlayStation 4 version.
All right. For many of our listeners who have not bought a PlayStation Vita yet, it was also announced that the Vita will be getting a price drop effective, well, a couple days ago as of this recording. So as you listen to this, the price drop has already happened. Sony has announced that the price of the PlayStation Vita will fall to $199 in the U.S. And it was also revealed that the Wi-Fi and 3G PS Vita models will drop to $269 in Australia starting September 2nd. Now, I find it interesting that during the press conference that Sony did not say whether or not this was the Wi-Fi version or the 3G version. I'm going to assume that it's going to be the Wi-Fi version, because if they were dropping down the 3G version down to $200, and of course they would have to drop down the Wi-Fi a little lower, and why would not Sony advertise that they're having a Vita at an even lower price? So I think this is just the Wi-Fi version. But with that being said, the price of memory cards is also going to drop. You can now get a 32 gig for $79.99. You can get a 16 gig for $39.99. You can get an 8 gig for $19.99. And you can get a 4 gig for $14.99. Now, Alex, I know you have a Vita. What size memory card do you have? Do you have a 14 gig or a 4 gig?
I got a 16 gig.
You have a 16 gig.
Yes.
Now, with them dropping the price by $20, does it entice you to go get a 32 gig?
Not really. I hate to admit this on this show, but really, ever since I finished Sly Cooper, I haven't played too much Vita. Like, I've been downloading games for free, like they've released them on PlayStation for the PlayStation Plus. And it's really funny how I said that. The PlayStation Plus, as they've released them for PlayStation Plus, grr. But I haven't really played the system that much. I've brought it out a few times here and there. But it's going to be one of those things, like if I go on a long trip, I'm going to visit a friend in Vancouver, Amanda. I'm going to visit her in October, so obviously on the plane trip there, it's going to be like 8 hours. I'm going to take my PlayStation Vita with me, and I'm going to be playing that like crazy. But, you know, when I'm at home, you know, when I'm not at work, I'm playing my console. So Vita doesn't really get a whole lot of play, so I don't really see the need to go out and buy a bit, spend $80 on a memory card.
All right. Well, I have to agree with you about the Vita. I mean, I haven't really played much myself, and that's one of the reasons why I was talking earlier in the show about you know, let's get some games out here. I mean, I care about first person shooters, and I'm still here. I'm sitting around waiting for Killzone to come out just so I can play something on it.
Oh, you know I got a cut in on this. You know why y'all ain't playing Vitas right. Cause it ain't got Jack to play. That's kind of like what I talked about earlier. Back to the shop.
Yeah, do you think it was a wise investment then? Like, if you're sitting there, if you're sitting there trying to justify the console by playing a game that you necessarily, in a genre that you I told you I was drunk before we started. That you necessarily don't like. I mean, do you think it was a wise purchase to buy the Vita?
Absolutely. I mean, I love my Vita. It's just, for some reason, and I kind of think it's because the Vita didn't sell gangbusters like they thought it was going to, that maybe developers have not turned their back on it, but maybe took a step back and said, let's develop for the console that we know we can make sales on rather than maybe make sales on. So it's going to be interesting to see once the PlayStation 4 comes out and they integrate the remote play and, you know, see how many Vitas get sold and, you know, see how many people want to do that. I think the telltale is going to be when the PlayStation 4 launches to see how well the Vita does.
It's kind of like with a PSP. You know, Sony, they came out and it's like, oh, the system is great. There was a whole bunch of marketing for it. And, you know, they came out with a bunch of games. And then it kind of drops. Like, support for their handheld systems kind of dips. And then it'll come back again when they realize we got to do something. So it's been kind of a roller coaster, you know, up and down ride for the Vita as far as support from Sony. And I think that's a huge problem. Like, the support hasn't been consistent.
I understand. Okay, but speaking of the PlayStation 4, would you like to know when
it's launching? Were we speaking of the PlayStation 4?
Well, we were when we were talking about the Vita and...
You do the best segues, Tricky. I love your segues, Tricky.
I do remembery segues.
You have
conversation from 5 minutes ago. I bring it back to segue now.
You have, like, this formula for segues. Speaking of X, and then plop it in there wherever it needs to be.
Do you want to know when the PlayStation 4 is coming out?
No.
Okay. Then I won't tell you.
All right, question of the week.
But I'm going to tell the listeners.
Needy listeners. All right, go ahead.
All right, if you're in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, you will be getting the PlayStation 4 on November 29th. If you're in the United States and Canada, you will be getting the PlayStation 4 on November 15th.
Woo! We win! Take that, Europe and PAL countries.
Woo! Now, a lot of people flipped out when they heard November 29th.
Woo!
For Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. But in a negative way.
What was that?
Well, do you know what November 29th is?
No.
It is Black Friday here in the States.
So you think that they, released early so there wouldn't be any discounts?
Well, a lot of people were saying, why would you release your console on Black Friday? And what you need to realize is Europe, Australia, and New Zealand, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Therefore, it's not Black Friday for them.
They don't have Black Friday.
So they're not releasing on Black Friday in those territories. In the United States, it's releasing 2 weeks earlier. And that's to not come out on Black Friday.
Yeah, they said they've already had over 1 million pre-orders for the PlayStation 4. Yes.
It's going to launch in 32 countries, too.
Gotta wonder, is there going to be enough supply? Because, you know, the PlayStation 3, correct me if I'm wrong, but that sold out, too, at first. The initial supply sold out. And that was $600 for the high-end model, for the 60-gigabyte one.
Yeah,
and then we're talking about $200 cheaper here. How much was the 20 gig PS3? How much was that? Was that 500?
The No, that
or was it 400?
I don't remember.
Okay, so we're talking about a console with.
I know they launched with a 20 gig and a 60 gig, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so the 20 gig.
The 80 gig
was,
came later.
Yeah, the 20 gig was 500.
Okay, yeah. So you've got a console that's launching even cheaper than that with more space with, you know, let's see, so 480, I hate math, so I'll just say 480 more gigs of space in it. So you got to wonder if, you know, people, like, even if supply will last even through Black Friday, you know?
Like, well, I mean, this is the thing. It's like, they're already talking that the Xbox One, who doesn't even have a release date yet, reports are coming in.
Well, they've got to change a few other key things in the system before they're gonna rewire the whole system before they decide to release it. So we'll see it in probably 3 years.
I still say we're gonna get a $399 bundle without the Kinect, but I'll stand by my word. I mean, I know I said that last week. I know it's gonna get said. It was gonna get reported during Gamescom. I'm standing by my word. Before the Xbox One comes out, we will get a $399 bundle that does have the Kinect. But going back. The reports are coming in that the Xbox One to PlayStation 4 is a 3-to-2 ratio. That for every two PlayStation 4s, there's going to be three Xbox Ones out there for sale. Now,
because nobody wants them.
Well, you know what I'm saying. It's about supply, not necessarily who's going to buy them.
No, you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. Let's just be on record there. But. I was one of the douchebags that when the PlayStation 3 came out, I bought two of them, sold one on eBay for double the price. And I'm doing the same thing with the PlayStation 4. I already have two PlayStation 4s pre-ordered, and one of them is going to go on eBay. So I'm hoping the supply and demand is killing.
Now, when you say going on eBay, you mean you're going to sell it to me for $5, right?
No.
You
means I'm going to sell it to you for $800.
What?
This way,
no.
This way I get mine for free.
Look. That's not fair. Look, if you want to sell it to Donnie for $800, you can do that. Not to Yield. Don't you do that to Yield. If you want to sell it to Donnie, and I can't wait for Donnie to hear this, he's like,
why? Because I'm black?
No, Donnie, not because you're black. Because I had to pick someone else on the podcast, and I'm sorry, I can't pick Yield. I mean, I can't.
Yield just reeks with awesomeness.
He does. He brings the awesome, as he says. But no, actually, you know what? Don't even charge $800 to Donnie. Maybe what you can do is charge each Donnie and Yield $400, so you get your $800, but then they can share the PlayStation 4 and then mail it to each other every other week. No, every month.
Well, that's the point. I mean, realistically, what I'm doing is I'm going to list it on eBay for what I paid for, and I'm just going to let the bid go up. I'm not going to say buy it now. I'm going to put a buy it now at $800, but I'm going to start the bidding at, you know, the $400 price point. So
watch you sell it. I hope you sell it for $400.99.
Even at that, I still made my money.
It's true.
But, We're gonna skip the question of the week just because I like doing these questions when we have more people on the show. Let's get into our housekeeping. What do you think about there, buddy?
Sounds good to me.
All right. BrewingGamer.com is looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, and generalized all help for the site, including rump shakers, because Alex and Donnie, there is a fearsome battle going on between you two.
I'll admit, Donnie's got the edge, but one of these days, I'm practicing hard, and my rump, it's getting in prime condition, so one of these days, Donnie, you're going down.
All right. I just got word from Donnie that he totally forgot we were recording today, so that's a major fail on his part.
Nice.
Although
I can't really say anything since I was bar hopping last week, so.
Well,
and my excuse was I was drunk. I couldn't. I can't get home.
Well, at least you remembered that we were recording.
Yeah, because I did. In my defense, I did try to call you hours before because the plan was to go out for a few drinks at like 2. And it ended up being get drinks until midnight, so.
Yeah, well, in my defense, I was, when you were trying to call me, my phone died because I was out buying a car.
Oh, well, congratulations on buying the car.
Yeah, I got a brand new 2013 Equinox. But if you're interested in working for the site, go to provengamer.com and please hit the Help Wanted tab and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're cruising the web, stop by Facebook, because we all know you're on Facebook. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. Do a search for Proven Gamer, and please hit that like button. I mean, even Donnie's on Facebook now, Alex.
Yeah, well, we waded poor salt into the wound because we're still not friends, Donnie.
What, well, Alex, he only has two friends, and that's me and Jax.
Oh, so I'm not good enough? I can't be the third friend? Thanks, Donnie.
Thanks. I don't know.
Twist the knife. Twist the knife.
All right. Also, while you're cruising the web, go to YouTube and search for Official Proven Gamer. Check out all of our videos there, including Donnie's recent review of the movie Kick-Ass 2.
Nice. I saw like it didn't do gangbusters at the box office, but it looked like the trailers were really awesome and really exciting. So, yeah, I saw the first one. I'd really like to see what Donnie thought of it, because, you know, if it's good, I'd definitely like to go see it.
Yeah, you definitely got to check out Donnie's review of this. It was pretty funny. I got to admit, it's one of Donnie's better ones. All right, there are several ways you can get a hold of us. You can send us an email at trophyhorse@provengamer.com. You can contact us on Twitter. You can contact the site at Proven Gamer. You can contact the show at trophyhorse. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Alex at Sondosaurus Rex. And if you really, 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 I mean, really want to, you can contact Donnie and Yield at Young Twist and at I Yield to No One. But, you know, if you're going to contact him, give him shit for not showing up to this week's show.
Yeah, because he forgot.
I'm here.
Yeah, Donnie forgot that we were recording today.
And he's not my friend on Facebook. Give him double shit.
While you're on ProvenGamer.com, there are several things you could do there. You could check out our other podcast, PG Spoilers, which I promise you, we are going to do an episode on Trophy Jumping.
Really? Because I don't see it happening. You know, there's no scheduled date for it. It hasn't happened yet, Tricky, and we've been talking about it for months.
Well, we were scheduled to do it tomorrow. Now, our listeners, we are recording on Saturday. Normally, we record on Sundays. But I have to work on Sunday. So we actually moved the recording of Trophy Horse a day earlier, in which that's why Donnie forgot we were recording today. And Yield was too busy having a job to show up to record. So we were going to do both shows tomorrow, but unfortunately, Spoilers is going to have to get canceled until probably next week. And
until next week, or when we cancel it next week and move it to a month from now.
You know, that's a running thing with that show. It's like we keep saying we're going to do another episode, and 6 months passes and we still haven't done an episode. So, but we will get that episode in, because we definitely need to get to the bottom of this Trophy Jumping business.
I think we've gotten to the bottom of it, but
no, we haven't.
If we need, you know, if we need to expound upon it for 2 hours, you know. Let's do this.
We're not only going to record the podcast, we're going to live stream it, and we're going to do a Twitch TV type thing, and we're going to get involved in this. I want to get to the bottom of this, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong.
You know, hey, to each his own, Tricky. Whatever helps you sleep at night, sir.
If you listen to us on iTunes, please stop by and leave us a rating, preferably 5 stars. It's greatly appreciated. Let Donnie know, even though he didn't show up for this episode, that he does a good job editing the show from time to time.
Yeah.
If you want to call us, you can call us at our number. Alex, do you know the number off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, no. But luckily, I have this handy reminder on this little post-it note on my computer desk. The phone number is 330-PROVEN-9. That's 330-776-8369.
Very, very good.
Why, thank you.
Now, we do know what happens if you switch the 6 and the 3, correct?
No, Tricky, we don't. Would you tell me?
You would get a sex line.
Well, I guess we know how our listeners are spending their Saturday night.
All right, we have some sponsors. The first sponsor we have is our friend Undead Dog is doing a charity video game race for Extra Life. Please go to MiracleCup.org and check it out. There is a Proven Gamer car being sponsored in the race. So in the weeks to come, we will have our some information on how you can sponsor our car in the race. And listeners, I expect our show to our car to raise the most money.
I think we need bragging rights on that. And I say that, but obviously the most important thing is that money is raised for the good cause. Yes. But if we can raise the most money and, you know, get out there and say, hey, we kicked some ass and did some good, I'd be more than happy with that.
And I had the choice of choosing the number for the car. Now, any self-respecting race fan knows what number I chose. But Alex, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know what number I chose for our
69?
Car? 69? No. I'm talking legit racing fan. What's the most iconic number in...
You chose number 3?
Yes, I did.
Really? Like, because that's like sacred ground for a lot of people. Like, you, it's not like you're Dale Earnhardt's son.
True.
Yeah,
but you know what Dale Earnhardt and Pink Floyd have in common, right?
I do not.
The last great hit was The Wall.
Ooh, tricky. Oh man, that is gonna offend some people. Too soon.
And for our listeners, I am a big Dale Earnhardt fan, and I'm a huge Dale Earnhardt Jr.
You
fan.
Hate Dale Earnhardt.
I even have a Dale Earnhardt Jr. tattoo. So, and that's a fact. So I'm a big fan. I find, you know, humor to be funny sometimes.
The humor is usually funny to people, but not when it's insensitive asshole humor.
Okay.
So I'm just joking. It was fucking hilarious. Leave it in, Donnie. It was good. If you're offended by that joke, whatever. Stop listening to podcast.
Also, we are sponsored by Play31.net. 31 is a poker variant. If you don't know how to play 31, go to the website. They will teach you how to play. It's a very good game. Very fun. They offer free and real money tournaments. Definitely worth checking them out. If you go there and register, use the code 1212. Let them know that Proven Gamer sent you over there, and you will get some kind of a bonus. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I do know you get a bonus. And also, the site's going to be offering Gin Rummy soon. So, Alex, I see me and you on there competing a lot in some Gin Rummy.
Yeah, I've never played Gin Rummy before, but... If I can snake some money away from you, Tricky Mick. Are you a Gin Rummy master? Is that why you want me on there? You want to take all my monies?
I am a poker savant. All forms of it. I've
really?
Been going to Atlantic City with about $100 and come back with about $6,500.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because you robbed a bunch of old ladies in the casino?
No, it's because I...
You didn't even sit down at a table, did you?
I wait for everybody to get drunk and not be able to concentrate, and then I take all their money.
Well, then, you sounds like you've got a damn that
system.
Yes, a system to take advantage of people.
And we have one final sponsor, and Alex, I want you to prepare yourself because Donnie's not here. Are you ready?
Stop! What the heck is that? You're trying to mess up the contract I'm trying to get with Amazon. It's like this.
Amazon! Yes, we are sponsored by Amazon. If you could, and you could be doing some shopping on Amazon, please go to provengamer.com first. Click the link. Maybe even bookmark it. You know, this way you don't have to go to Proven Gamer every time. And continue
you
with
really,
your mobile shop.
Really? You don't have to go to Proven Gamer every time?
Well, not if you bookmark it.
Well, you just earlier, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, all the great content on Proven Gamer, and then you're telling people not to come.
I'm not telling them not to come. I'm just trying to help our listeners save some time when they're going to pre-order their new systems. That kind of involves a contest that Proven Gamer's having.
Oh, really? That contest? Are you going to share it again?
Oh, no. I'm not going to share it. But let me get through the Amazon thing here real quick, and then I'm gonna bring it back. I'm gonna bring it home, Alex.
You're gonna bring it home. Bring it home for me.
I'm gonna be your designated driver. I'm gonna get you home.
Hey, I had one last week too, so somebody's gotta take care of me.
I'm very proud of you.
Well, thank
you. All right. So while you're going to Amazon, click that link, maybe bookmark it, do your normal shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously, which kind of leads us into our contest. I'm not going to mention the contest again because, you know, I said that we were going to mention it one time. This is for our dedicated listeners that never miss an episode. I'm not even going to tell you what episode we mentioned it on, but there's a contest out there. But if you don't really want to go try to find the episode and the contest, you can go to provengamer.com and the contest is listed on there. So I kind of brought it home there, Alex.
Good. Thank you for not driving people away from the site.
All right. Well, I think that covers all of our housekeeping. Let's get the maid out of here and do some shout-outs.
The maid?
Yeah, we have a maid.
Really?
Yeah, we have a maid. You don't know about the maid in Trophy Horse Studios?
No, I don't.
Oh.
What's her name?
Tricky's Goddess.
Really?
Yes.
You better hope she didn't hear that.
She will when she hears this episode.
I thought I just heard someone hit you in the head with a skillet.
No, that was actually me hitting the pop filter with my headset as I turned around to see if she was about to smack me.
Because it sounded like she actually did smack you and you just ignored it.
Yeah. All right, Alex, let's do your shout-outs, buddy.
I would like to give shout-outs to our co-host, Yield and Donnie, one of which couldn't be here. The other one who just, you know, it wasn't important enough for him to remember. You know, it happens. We still love you, Donnie. At least I do. I still love you, Donnie.
I love you too, boo-boo.
And my other shout-out this week goes to UltraSpank216, one of my buddies on Twitter. So, shout-out to Tricky Mick, who you...
206?
216, yes. Tricky, who you... Who's getting some love from Tricky Mick this week besides Tricky's Goddess?
Well, I got to go to the guy that UltraSpank's 216. You know, 216 times. That's impressive.
It is. Stamina.
Yes. I want to give a shout-out to Tricky's Goddess. And all of our listeners should give a huge shout-out to her because she is the driving force in me getting all the old episodes back on the site after our hack. She's been working very hard to get all the episodes back up, and she's currently only like she's got to get 13 more up there, and then all of our episodes are up.
Damn. Well, thank you, Tricky's Goddess.
She's been working very hard. I want to give a shout out to you, Alex, for actually showing up this week. And
yes, I haven't had a chance. I haven't had a chance to get some alcohol in me. So
you haven't had a chance to get crunk yet, huh?
No, I'm not going to use that word. I refuse to use that word.
What, crunk? Yeah!
That is from a time and a place when I was in college. That's like from freshman year in college, and I refuse to use that word.
Did you experiment in college, Alex? I want to give a shout-out to Donnie's mom and grandma. Maybe one of them can smack Donnie into remembering to show up to record. What do you think?
Take a lot of smacks. Had to smack pretty hard. I don't want them to hurt their hands.
All right, and I want to give a shout out to Amanda. I don't give her a shout out, and I talk to her every so often. So shout out to Amanda.
Yes, Amanda is amazing.
And that's it. That's it for my shout outs.
Oh, I want to go back and say I want to give one more shout out to Undead Dog for his work with the Miracle Cup. And, yeah, I've known that dude since Sarcastic Gamer, worked with him on Big Red Barrel. I've actually had the pleasure of meeting him at a PAX. Awesome fucking dude, so shout out to Undead Dog.
You know the cool thing about Undead Dog?
What's that?
He's the one that designed the Trophy Horse logo and the Proven Gamer logo.
I did not know that.
When we were getting the site started...
It's all Donnie.
No, when we were getting the site started, before Donnie even knew what Photoshop was... We reached out to Undead Dog and asked him if he could make the logos for us, and within a couple hours he came back with those photos that we still use to this day.
Nice. His work is that damn good.
Yes, it is. So if there's nothing else, Alex, till next week, happy trophy hunting.
Later.
Check it. You done made it through another one.
Replay.
I'll download another one.
Continue your hordeo.
Or you can go and do a tricky man and
chop it.
However you do it just to get the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again and listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.